Polak, Clemens Connelly and the Problem of Democratic Socialism. By Joel B. Polak on February 24, 2019. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU, the first black trade union in Africa, by Clemens Connelly. Much like Mahatma Gandhi, whose experience of racial discrimination on a South African train inspired a lifetime of struggle, Connelly, an educated native from Malawi, was motivated to become an activist after being pushed off the sidewalk by a white policeman in Cape Town. On January 17, 1919, Connelly held the ICU's first meeting and registered 24 members. The ICU would spread across South Africa at a rapid pace, exceeding 100,000 members at its zenith. Connelly won wage increases and better working conditions for African and colored, mixed-race, laborers, incurring, as he did, the wrath of white unions, who are agitating for an aggressive color bar to exclude black competitors for industrial jobs. Connelly overcame the racism of the white South African trade unions by taking his case for black workers abroad, to the United Kingdom and continental Europe in 1927. He was among the first black leaders to make the case for the continent directly in the halls of power. The ICU waned in subsequent years, owing to tribalism and greed that have become, sadly, hallmarks of South African politics to this day. But Connelly had paved the road to freedom. Ideologically, Connelly rejected both the African nationalism of Marcus Garvey and the communism whose agents tried to insinuate themselves into the ICU and steer it in a pro-Soviet direction. He declared himself a socialist, at a time when that term meant something. He was also a Democrat, in the lowercase sense, and urged the few black South Africans who had the franchise to use their vote strategically, not blindly to follow the party of the left. It is difficult to find fault with democratic socialism as Connelly understood it, in the circumstances he faced. He lived in a world where the mass of people had no meaningful political rights, and were forced to participate in the economy on exploitative terms. Democracy and socialism were aspirational terms in a world where inequality was not a natural outcome of economic competition but forcibly imposed by laws that ran against the free market. It was also possible to believe, as George Orwell once did, that democratic socialism, that is, a system in which the state controlled economic decisions, and people had an equal say in how it would do so, might actually work. No reasonable person would say the same today. And while America's contemporary democratic socialists often point to Europe, especially Scandinavia, as proof of the viability of socialist policies, the obvious reason Europe has been able to afford a generous welfare state is it depends on the U.S. for defense. It is also unclear how American socialism can deliver the promised goods while insisting on an open borders policy. In the end, prosperity depends on the individual, whom capitalism does a better job of motivating, not only for his or her own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Looking back on his life, Connelly wrote, "I believed, as I believe now, that the salvation of the Africans in this country will be brought about through their own sweat and labor. What he demanded was to share fairly in the fruits thereof. He called it socialism. Its better name is liberty." Joel B. Polak is senior editor-at-large at Breitbart News. He is a winner of the 2018 Robert Novak Journalism Alumni Fellowship. He is also the co-author of How Trump Won, The Inside Story of a Revolution, which is available from Regnery. Follow him on Twitter at Joel Polak. Note, Clemens Connelly's autobiography, My Life in the ICU, The Autobiography of a Black Trade Unionist in South Africa, is out of print but available on Amazon.